Mentioned, the title of my sermonette is, What Have You Learned About Generosity? A few weeks ago, my twins came home from school. They're in third grade, and they had a homework assignment sheet for the week. It lists maybe 15 to 20 different activities as options for what they need to do throughout the week. Some are mandatory. They've got to do their math. They've got to do their reading. Some are optional. And these activities support what they're learning about in school for that particular week. Now, even though the kids have the privilege of choosing what to do for their homework activities, sometimes that doesn't really matter. They don't feel like doing any of those optional activities. Big surprise there. So then as parents, we get to choose for them. So on this particular day, one of the activities was to simply answer the question, what have you learned about generosity? I thought it would be a nice thing to discuss, so I asked them what their answer was. They both independently gave the same answer, the identical answer. It's good. And that's pretty much where it ended. It's hard to disagree with, isn't it? But what I wanted to do today is go a little bit deeper into the answer to that question. Why is generosity good? What does the Bible tell us about the benefits of generosity? How would you answer that question for yourself about what you have learned about generosity? I think a great place to start is with the pithy maxim in the Bible from Jesus Christ. He's quoted as saying, it is more blessed to give than receive. Right? So that's something most people are familiar with. That's from Acts 20, 35. What I find, however, is that it's a very interesting choice of words. Jesus didn't say that it's better to give. He said that it is more blessed. Our generosity is blessed by God. What we will see in the sermonette today is that there are tremendous benefits that result from acts of generosity. So if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 6. I'll read verses 35 through 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, for you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Jesus Christ gives us the instruction to love one another, even our enemies. And I started out with this passage quoting a lot more than you might anticipate. I talked about loving your enemies, doing good, forgiveness. These are acts of generosity. These are acts of love. He tells us also that God the Father gives us the model to follow. God the Father is generous and kind and merciful and forgiving to us. In these examples, generosity is not just about monetary gifts. It's about extending grace, kindness to others. Forgiveness, too, is a type of generosity. Remember that God the Father, he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to us, for us, so that we would have the opportunity for salvation. Generosity is what love in action looks like. It benefits the one who receives the gift of generosity, obviously. But what is amazing is that it also has an effect on the one who's the giver. With the same measure of generosity that one gives, it is also measured back. That is why it is more blessed to give than to receive. As referenced here, it also feels good. It is measured back and pressed down into your bosom, extending and expressing love to one another, generosity through forgiveness or however it's expressed. It feels good. It's common to believe that spending money on yourself is a sure path to find happiness. However, that happiness tends to be short-lived. Giving to others turns out to be a much greater source of enduring happiness. The Bible has explained this for thousands of years. It's been written in these words that I'm reading to you today. And scientific research is just finally catching up. In a 2008 study by a Harvard professor, Michael Norton, he conducted several experiments which measured happiness in people when they received a gift and compared it to the happiness when they gave a gift. In one of the experiments, researchers handed envelopes of money to students on campus. That is, they received a gift. The envelopes contained either $5 or $20. And these recipients were told that they should spend the money by the end of the day either on themselves or spend it on others. They had the choice. The results showed that people who spent the money on themselves that day were not happier by the evening. Right? It didn't even take that long, right, before their happiness diminished. But the people who spent it on others, they were happier at the end of the day. The amount of money, the $5 or $20, didn't matter at all. It was only how people spent that money that made them happier. Giving brings real, lasting joy. It's humanly intuitive to think that getting more is what makes us happy, but it is ironically the opposite. They say that money can't buy happiness. This is only partly true. The sure way to buy happiness is to spend it on others. And the Bible clearly reveals it. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians, and I'll turn to chapter 9 and read verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. The measure of our generosity in how we sow is the same measure that God uses to bless us in return. And that blessing can come in many ways, right? But he does give us a return on our investment of how we express our love for one another generously. The way that we give needs careful consideration, though. If we are keeping score, if we are giving grudgingly when we give to others, expecting that we are entitled to receive more in return, we're giving the wrong way. That's not free will, right? That is an entitled, wrong-headed kind of way of giving. That is not a generous way of giving. It's a greedy way of giving. When we practice generosity, it is God who blesses us, as we read here, with an abundance. An abundance for every good work. God will provide us with what we need to do good abundantly. And if we think we don't have the resources, think a little harder again about what it means to express generosity. It's a kind word to another. It doesn't have to be, you know, a big tip. at the restaurant. It can be kindness, forgiveness, and any manner of helping. We are abundantly resourced for the good works. Let's turn over to Proverbs 11 and read a little bit more about that irony of generosity. I'm reading Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 26. There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. We see the beautiful irony about generosity and greed in this passage. Greed leads to poverty, but it is generosity that leads to abundance and wealth in this case. You would think that giving away what we have would only bring poverty and loss, but just the opposite is true. The one who is generous is he who receives the greater benefit. So then, I'd like to give you your homework assignment. Answer that question for yourself. What have you learned about generosity? Have you discovered for yourself that giving brings joy and happiness? Have you found that generosity results in having abundance for doing your good work? It's never too late to put it into practice. Generosity doesn't need to be grandiose to stretch you beyond your means. It starts with having a heart that delights in giving to others, helping others, extending grace and forgiveness to others. Generosity in its purest form is an expression of love. God is generous, abundantly generous to us in how he loves us, and he blesses us when we are generous to others.